This is Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars with Trevor Long and Stephen Fenwick. Thanks to NRMA Insurance and Uniden.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Trevor Long, Stephen Fenwick, and we're proudly brought to you by NRMA Insurance, helping over 3 million people across Australia protect the things they care about. And Uniden Smart Dash Cams, the best in the business, rated highly by Canstar Blue, 5-star across all categories, and there's some cracking products out there right now. Stephen, good to see you, mate.
Hello, Trev. How you doing?
You've had
a road trip, eh, in your EV9.
You're driving my car.
I'm driving your car.
And we've got a cracking bunch of callers to get to this week. Yep. If you have an EV, want an EV, got rid of an EV,
yeah,
or you hate on EVs, just get in touch. I don't know why you'd be listening to this if you hate on them, but it'd be interesting to hear from you. 0477 657 657. Send us a text, send us a WhatsApp, or go to techguide.com.au or EFTM.com. We'll find you and we'll get you on the show because we love talking to you, real people with real cars, having real conversations about their EVs.
And guess what? People love listening to those conversations.
Because give yourself a rap.
I'm talking about our callers, but we're talking about the real people we have on the show.
Yeah.
I think a lot of other listeners are getting a lot out of that. They're hearing their experiences. They're learning a little bit more. I think it's part of that. I'm going to say the word, part of the journey.
It is. And it is a journey. And I've got to tell you, I've had a look. A couple of people we're talking to today, fascinating cars that they own. So we'll get to that shortly, but you're right. I did a road trip on the weekend. First big trip in our EV9. I took their last, like a press car EV9 up to Mum's when she was at Walker. So I'd done a long drive. I knew its capabilities, its range. Because we talked about that a bit. Remember, the range you see on your dashboard is calculated based on your recent driving. Yeah. It's not something out of the factory.
Yeah.
It's based. So my car, our EV9, goes 10 minutes a day back and forward to my wife's work. Like it does good, efficient driving. So it thought it was going to go 600 odd Ks. It was never going to go that. So I knew that.
Yeah.
But so I was confident in doing the drive. And actually, Young is where we went. It's 4 hours, 400 Ks. So it was easily going to do it in one tank. Uh-huh. I'll use old parlance, right?
One battery, yeah.
Right. But obviously, there's always potential issues with that, with elevations and just speed and a bunch of things.
Yep.
A couple of things in our favor on the way down. Mum made Jackson drive.
Oh.
I sat in the third row. Oh. I thought, well, if I'm not driving, I'm going all the way back.
Right.
So the third row in a Prado or a Kluger or a traditional 7-seat SUV is not a comfortable place for an adult. But with two kids in the middle, I just made them all move their seats forward. Yep. I had leg room. It was great.
Yeah, nice.
Peace and quiet away from the family.
And so
wonderful.
It's Jackson drove.
Jackson drove. Right. Because he's
only whose decision was that?
Amanda.
His mother, not you. You said mum said, so you're referring
we're
to
we're in
your
the
wife.
Car, mum.
Right.
Because apparently he wants to do a road trip or something after school. So
is that right?
She's like, you need to get used to highway driving. So that helped because driving 90 is more efficient than driving 115.
Oh, right. So he was under
he's a P-player,
not allowed
right?
to drive. Okay.
Yeah,
right.
So I think that helped a little. We got to Young with 18% battery left. So nailed it in 82%.
Yep.
I went to a Tesla. The Tesla has a superchargers in Yass.
Yep.
I thought, I'll go there. This is good.
Yep.
Because there's one NRMA charge fox. There was two people queued up for it. Went to the Teslas. 4 of the 12 were broken, and it said that in the app.
Yeah.
I plugged in. Start charging is the Kia sound. App says charging. Started walking down to get some Subway.
Yep.
Then I get these notifications from both Kia and Tesla going, your charging's finished. I'm like, it's been a minute. What? So something's wrong. So I go back, I check the plug, do it again.
Yeah.
No, nope, same thing. Move to a different stall.
Yep.
Same thing. Just cuts out, doesn't charge after a minute. So I'm like, oh, great. So I couldn't charge at a Tesla. And Tesla, the Yass is open to other cars, by the way.
Yep.
So it should work. And I have charged an EV9 at a Tesla before, at Tamworth.
Tesla supercharger.
So I don't think it's an incompatibility issue. But I found that really staggering. So I had a little bit of, and this is that EV mindset, I had a little bit of that panic. Oh,
yeah.
I know there's 98 cases to go.
Yep.
There's 220 on the clock, right? So we'll be fine.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel right.
Okay. So are you going to continue your story? Did you didn't work it out? You had to go somewhere else?
No, that's the challenge in my head is I've got 98 cases to go.
Okay.
I've got 220 cases on the clock as in the calculated range.
Yeah.
I went, I'm not going to try this.
Wing it.
And the NRMA thing's full. So I just went, picked up the family, and we went on. We drove on to Young.
Yep.
Now, I knew young, there's a single charge Fox NRMA charger there, and I've used it before. It's just behind the main street. I said, listen, we're going out to dinner tonight. I'll charge while we're doing that. I'm going to breakfast in the morning, charge while we're doing that. And that's what I did.
Yeah.
I charged it at nighttime for dinner, but I hadn't set it to 100%, so it only went to 90. So I said,
rookie error.
I'll come back in the morning and do breakfast and I'll charge it again. So we got the full charge. And on the way back, there are more options on the Hume Highway.
Yeah.
Than I remember there being. There's now two BPs at the BP Pulse at the BPs.
There's with chargers. Yeah.
Yep. There's now EV chargers, you know, EVIE at the Shell at Sutton's Forest. So there was options. So we went to Sutton's Forest and we charged there at like 200 kilowatts. Like it went pumping, man. Wow. It was awesome. But this was where the interesting thing happened. We pull into Sutton's Forest, which is where you might get Maccas.
Yep.
We don't eat Maccas because their kids are celiac.
Yep.
And it wasn't lunchtime. It was the middle of the afternoon.
Right.
And Amanda said to me, I said, so we'll just stop here for like 10, 15 minutes and get a bunch of juice. Amanda goes, if this was 5 years ago and I said, let's stop in a barrel and look at some shops, it's going to take 20 minutes, you'd say, no, it's too long. We're out of here. We're getting going.
Oh.
And I thought it was a very good observation.
Yeah.
Because from Amanda's point of view, she's like, we wouldn't have to do this in a petrol car.
Yeah.
And that's true.
Fair enough.
So there is... there's still a mindset adjustment. And it was the first time Amanda had done an EV journey. And fascinatingly, like, it made me go, hang on a minute. She was talking about going to Canberra on her own with the kids when I'm away.
Ah.
Like, I'm going to need to teach her all this stuff.
Right.
So
that's what I'm going to ask you. So if it was up to her, does she know where to put the plug in and how to do it herself? Has she got the app on her phone?
Or? I'll give her full credit. She's keen and trying to do that at home.
Yeah.
I've got to learn how to do this, right? Which
of course,
is awesome.
It's her car.
But on the public chargers... no, we haven't had that conversation really. But I thought to myself, she's not going to go out on her own. Jackson and Harry will be with her and they're all over it.
Right.
So we'll be okay. So it was kind of fascinating to me that I had the same problems as we've all talked about. I had a charging failure at Tesla.
Yeah, I want to ask.
That's remarkable.
I want to ask more about that. Did you get to the bottom of that eventually?
No.
Or have you tried to research? Is there some incompatibility between Kia?
No, because I've used the Kia at a Tesla
but
before.
But you used it at more than one and it came up with the same error?
More than one of
so
the
is
of
it
the
is it a software thing or what is it?
Don't know.
Is it worth finding out or what? Because you might need that in the future.
Well, how am I going to find that out?
I don't know. Tesla.
I looked at good luck. There it is.
Or, you know, PlugShare. Did you get on PlugShare and note it?
I did. I noted on PlugShare. Yep. And I noted that other people with non-Teslas had successfully charged that day.
Right.
So, yeah, it was a strange one.
Because the only charging mishap I've ever had was in the MG. Remember the MG ZSEV?
Yeah, yep.
And I plugged it in.
Yeah, you've told this story, yeah.
Yeah, it just died. Something, there was like
it tripped a safety feature
within the MG. And it just wouldn't move. It was just stuck there.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just think it's fascinating that
so you've not heard of other Kia owners having the same issue.
No, of all the chargers, and I don't think it's a Kia issue. I think it was some sort of issue there.
Right.
But of all the places, I thought there's 12 chargers here. This is going to be awesome.
None of them. You couldn't use any of them.
Four were actually out of service. There was a Tesla service car there with no one in it. I would have asked.
Yeah.
The others were bloody.
Let me play a bit of devil's advocate here, right? Say you had no other option but to use the Tesla charger. You would have had to find out a way to make that work. What would you have done? Would you have called Tesla or who would you have called?
No,
Kia?
I would have just gone
around. What's your alternative?
I would have gone to the NRMA and waited.
No, but I'm saying.
There was another one there.
You didn't hear the end of it. That's the only option for you to charge, right? And you're thinking, well... you saw others had worked.
Yep.
What I've got to get to the bottom of this.
I would have had a backup plan. I've always, and this is again goes to that plan plotting. Like I thought to myself, if we stop at BP, and there's a problem, I'll charge at EV. Like I knew that there was another stop.
Yeah.
I would never plan my stop around the last chance scenario.
Yeah.
And also, you don't really want to charge when you're at, buddy, 10%. You want to charge when you're at 60%,
because
then you just get the juice quick and off you go. Because when we stopped at the EV charger at Shell, we were at 36%, and we got to 80% in like 10 minutes. It was like
really
so fast because it's that middle range charger, where you get the fast.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
So it was fascinating.
Yeah.
So it's still not perfect, folks. And to me, the takeout is you got to educate your whole family, and you still have to plan. And you got to plan properly.
Plan it all the way. Right.
But you've had a much better week.
I've been driving this car, this Cupra Born.
What a car!
Which is exactly the car I picked up to drive. Was exactly what Trevor owns. correct? Yeah. Same colour and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. You wanted me to bring it here, eh? So you could have a little photo.
I did want to put them side
by side. You wanted a photo session. But I've got to say, I'm impressed. My neighbours were even commenting about. They said, "Oh, I really like the look of that car."
It's a good looking car.
It was out the front. It wasn't in the driveway. It was out the front of my house.
Didn't put it in the driveway.
No, because Joe had to go in and out, so I had to move it. But my neighbours were saying, "Oh, what is that car? It looks nice."
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so it's okay. Cooper Born.
You're a taller.
Yeah, I fit nicely. You're in it. Okay. It was great. Yeah,
because that to me is what I love most about it. I feel like a pocket. Like I feel like I'm in a go kart again. I like sitting low.
You like sitting up close, don't you?
Have you noticed that the couple of Hyundais that we've had?
Yeah,
you seem to. I couldn't get them to sit low.
Yeah,
like I felt like the seat like wouldn't go down.
You like to ride low, do you? Ride low.
Yeah. And I think in the Hyundais it's the battery pack.
Yeah.
I think the seat is not engineered to go low enough. I feel like I was just sitting really high.
Now, the Cooper gave me a good ride height, but also gave me plenty of room. I like to sort of sit back a little bit from the wheel. Like, I'm not quite straight arm, but, you know, like a little bit of an angle there.
As you should be.
And
performance, did you get on some twisty
performance
bits?
Performance is good. No, you told me. I said, what were your words? Smash the corners. Yeah. Go the corners hard. Yeah. I did. It was good. Performance-wise, fantastic. I did put it in the
Cooper mode.
In drive, and then you go again, so you get a bit of recuperation.
A bit of regen,
that was pretty cool. I was a little frustrated, I've got to say, with some of the controls, some of the touch controls,
the haptic controls on the
that was.
It's the biggest gripe about the car by journalists.
I never liked it. I didn't like
it. Mate, I've owned the car now for 6 months or so.
Yeah.
Twice I've accidentally touched the things.
Yeah, I did something and then it turned the volume down. I think, what did I do? Suddenly there was no volume. I didn't realise it was on the underneath the screen.
You didn't realise the bar.
No.
Yeah.
Until I touched it. And I'm thinking, what did I just do? Yeah.
But see, you would know as an owner. This is what I hate about press cars is you don't get a owner's walkover. And that's a very unique thing to have to slide your finger. Because, you know, that's the climate control as well. You slide your finger across.
I know. Well, I was on the wheel. I'm thinking, oh, here it is. You know, you see the triangle plus minus. I think, oh, beautiful. I'll press the volume up. And I'm pressing it and nothing's happening. I'm thinking, what am I doing wrong? Mm. It was turning the volume down as I was turning it up.
Yeah.
And then I realised it's a touch. You've got to sort of like stroke it, don't you? You've got to sort of touch it.
It's more that you've got to push it.
It's like touching a smartphone screen instead of a button.
And you're not
button.
Used to it. Oh, I can tell you right now, they'll get rid of that in the next model.
It needs to be more tactile.
There'll be no
buttons. My other gripe,
again.
Though, mate, what's with the two window controls? What's with that?
There's four windows and there's only two controllers.
I'm thinking, hang on. And what there is, right, if you haven't seen it, there's a little thing that says rear.
Hmm.
So when you've pressed that and it's illuminated, the window controls operate the rear windows. Hmm. And when rear is not illuminated, you operate the front windows. I was pressing it and I'm driving, trying to and the back windows kept going down. I'm thinking, and I'm trying to look for the other two buttons. And I'm thinking, I looked in the middle, you know, so was it the Kia? No, the Hyundai had them in the middle.
Hmm.
The Ioniq had them in the middle. And I'm thinking, are they in the middle? And they go, no, they're over here, but there's only two. And so this was a bit frustrating for me. And the other problem I had too was adjusting the mirrors. Trying to press and select each mirror. I couldn't select the left mirror. The left mirror I had to tip down to look into it properly because I couldn't adjust it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
interesting.
Who knows?
I don't know.
The car drove well.
Those
really good.
Those concerns highlighted by nearly every reviewer.
Yeah. Okay.
As I said, I honestly owned it for long enough that it's never been a problem for me. I've definitely been in rear mode when I've tried, but I wind the windows down once in a blue moon, so it doesn't worry me.
Fair enough.
But see, the funny thing about the car is. It's, and I think we all have this with something in our lives that we bought that we compromised on. We know that I'm like, I don't care because that car, doesn't have a wireless Apple CarPlay. I don't care because I sit in it, I drive it, and I love it.
Yeah, I had the USB connected there to get Android Auto.
Also, can we talk about the thing you discovered about Android Auto?
Well, it is, I had the iPhone USB-C to C cord.
Yes.
And I had that connected to a Oppo Android phone to the Cupra, and Android Auto wouldn't work.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, why is that? And then I changed cable to a non-Apple cable, so still USB-C to C, and that worked.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I don't know whether that's something I missed, I didn't read on the screen or something, but mysteriously just started
you
working.
You never know.
After I changed the Apple cord out. Apple have got no skin in the game there.
What did Joe think of the Cupra?
She liked it. Yeah, she liked it. Yeah. She said it's not as good as a Mercedes, but She liked it, mate. She said it was nice. And I've got to say, I enjoy driving it. It's an enjoyable drive.
Yeah.
It is a nice little car. It's not massive. Car, yeah. It's a nice size car. Moves really well.
Boot,
drives well. Yeah, great size boot. I didn't play golf that week.
No, it wouldn't fit close.
Yeah, yeah. But I enjoyed it. Good choice.
Very nice. Yeah. The Cooper Born, folks. Great car. We got lots of different cars coming up, and we look forward to bringing you our thoughts on those as we go along. But let's take a break and hear from some owners. All right, let's go to the calls. Let's talk to some owners. You love it?
Gets me every time.
Too much juice? What are you thinking?
I love it.
Oh, you love that one?
I love it. I like it, yeah.
Goes a bit long. It's a bit too much pump for me.
Okay.
Anyway, 0477 657 657, or you can send us a text or a WhatsApp, or you can go to techguide.com.au, EFTM.com. Stuart's on the line. G'day, Stuart.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, really good, mate. Now, tell us about your EV life. You just bought one. How long ago?
Yeah, I just picked it up in mid-February. It's the first EV I've ever owned, and coming from a background of fast petrol sports cars, so it's a big shift for me.
So what did you buy, mate? What do you got?
So I've just recently taken delivery of a Hyundai Ioniq 5N.
What? You went wow. From 0 to 100 in literally no time with that thing. That is, for people that don't know, the Hyundai Ioniq has been on the road now for a few years. Great-looking car. Kind of a largish hatchback, very squared off edges. So, like a good looking car. But this is their N, is their performance brand. So, when they put N on something, like it's a hot hatch, mate, that thing.
N stands for no compromise.
That thing is wildly hot. Is it everything you hoped it would be?
Yeah, I've been pleasantly surprised by it. I wasn't sure what to expect. My daily driver beforehand was a 5-litre V8 Mustang. So,
oh, really? Wow.
Yes. So this was quite the sea change. And it's been, how can I put it? It's been satisfying in ways I didn't expect.
Yeah, right.
It's a lot of fun to drive on a day-to-day basis as well as when you're going for, a purposeful blast.
Yeah, right. And what you must be mates with other rev heads if you own a V8 Mustang or did own. What
are you still in the club, mate?
Yeah, what's the friendship circle like on this thing?
It's really interesting. I've also got a Porsche GT3 RS that I compete in track days as well.
Doing very well.
Doing very, very well. Good on you, mate.
Oh, no, I just love my cars. You know, should look at my priorities in life.
But,
mate, maybe,
Stuart, that is what is most fascinating about this. A lot of the talk around EVs is people who perceive them to be not a great car to own or drive. Now, here's you, a racer, a car man.
Yeah.
So I interrupted myself there, but essentially, what do your mates think?
Yeah, so they're slow to come around. There's many of them who think I've just lost my mind.
Yep.
And I can understand why. When I start telling them about the Ioniq 5N, how it has a synthetic gearbox and artificial noise, it sounds really lame. And when I tell them about it, I can see them rolling their eyes at me. Mm. But it's so well executed by Hyundai. They've obviously spent a lot of time and money getting it right and making it engaging for petrol heads.
Yeah.
But I've actually been pleasantly surprised on a day-to-day basis. I turn those things off, but I still find it engaging because you've got the straight-line performance, which is great. All the EVs have that, but the steering feedback's excellent. The handling is great. I've been pleasantly surprised.
Right. Well, you kind of answered the question I was just about to ask you about what you like about it. It seems to be a few. What are some of the things that have surprised you you're not liking about the car?
Probably the thing that surprised me the most I just touched on is I've enjoyed the driving in silence, but having that it feels like you're driving in a car with a turbo that's always on boost, just having that constant power there to zip around. That's been pleasantly surprising. And for a big, heavy car, the Hyundai 5N is 2.2 tonnes.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel its weight and it feels quite nimble. So I've been surprised by that.
Can I ask what you were talking, sorry, mate, earlier about your mates? Have you taken them for a drive in the car? Have they been in the car? Have you given them a bit of a zoom around in it?
Yeah, so some of them I have, and they, yeah, it definitely does change their opinions once they've been driving it. But it's a type of car that it seems to attract really visceral reactions from people. Mm-hmm. I've had people start to basically, you know, give me abuse about, you know, why you're driving an electric car. And I thought, really? I'm not making you drive an electric car. Yeah. Or, you know.
Yeah.
And I still love petrol cars. I didn't buy this car because it's good for the environment, and I didn't buy it because it saves me money on petrol. I bought it purely because I was fascinated by, you know, what this car can do.
It's a performance car. It is a legit performance car, and it's been recognised that way by pretty much every review I've seen and read. And yours is even more genuine because it's coming out of your kicker. So the sound thing. So for people that don't know, there's this kind of virtual gearbox in this, so you can kind of click through the gears, even though there is no gearbox. And there's a sound on the inside that makes you feel like you can even rev the car when you're standing still. So has that worn off yet, or do you think it's any good? Like, what's the impact of that sound system that they've engineered?
It's definitely more engaging. So on the racetrack, for example, it gives you an extra reference point. You know, you know how fast you're going lap after lap. It sort of gives you that extra point to know where your braking zone starts or where you should start braking. So I don't think it is entirely a gimmick, and it's so well done by Hyundai in that it doesn't sound 100% real, but it provides so much information in that it's dynamic, the sound. It changes with obviously the speed you're going, but the load the motor is under as well. Mm-hmm. And it's combined with the torque. So the torque is delivered in a way that if you're in too high a gear and you put your foot down, the motor lugs like it would in a petrol car.
Yeah.
And you can fix that by changing down the gears, and it has other interactions. Like if you lift off the throttle pedal quickly at high revs, you'll get a bit of crackle and pop on the what would be the overrun. It's just executed so well, and the way that torque distribution works, it hits you in the back when you change up a gear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you're driving spiritedly, you can change down gears to transfer the weight over the front wheels and get it turned in. It's very engaging.
What's your charging experience like there, mate? Where do you charge it? How often do you need to charge it? I'd say it'd be fairly often if you're going pretty hard on it.
Yeah, I probably get out of a charge 350 to 370 Ks, so it's not heaps. But the way I use the car, I probably do, you know, 20 to 30 Ks a day on average. What did open this car up as a possibility to me is I was moving from an apartment to a house. So I was looking forward to charging that at home, but I actually haven't moved in yet. The renos are taking ages. So I have been charging it at fast chargers, which I actually haven't found to be too much of an imposition.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Mate, and do you intend on putting a charger in at home, or are you going to just use the granny charger? What are you going to do?
When I first bought the car, I was dead keen on putting a fast charger in, but now the way I use the car, I could just charge it on a granny charger overnight, and that's what I think I
can do. Yeah, mate, I'm so pleased to hear you're having a great experience with it. I'm
especially from where you came from.
You don't need to be an advocate for them, but you just generally will become because of the community that you're in. And the great thing is, man, you've come from literally the loudest thing to the quietest thing, but you haven't had to compromise in that right foot performance, which is brilliant.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that because sometimes when I'm driving quickly on the street, inside the cabin, it's all happening. It sounds really, really loud. And I'll come around a corner and someone will step out in front of me from the sidewalk, and they obviously haven't heard me coming.
Yeah.
It's a problem I never had in my petrol cars. They could hear you coming for miles.
One last question I've got to ask, and this was sort of will tell me whether how much you're loving the car. When you're driving the car, does it put a smile on your face?
Oh, it does, without doubt.
There you go.
That's what's most important. For a man like you, I think that's what's most important. Well done. Good on you. Mate, I reckon the people at Hyundai will love this call. Yeah. I think that's a great thing for them to hear from. Mate, you've dropped a fair bit of coin on that thing, by the way. That's about the same price as my EV9 for a hatchback performance car.
Yeah, decent.
So, well done, mate. Thanks for sharing it with us, mate.
Anytime. Thank you for having me.
Thanks good on you. Really cool. I mean, that's a real person. And, you know, as I said, he's spent $100,000 plus a car, right?
Yeah.
For a hatchback.
But, like, where he's coming from, though, you know, how many people have you heard that say, oh, I love the sound of a motor. I don't want to go EV. I want to hear a car. And yet it sounds like he was that sort of driver and he's made the transition.
To Hyundai's credit. So Porsche have a really cool sound in their cars that you can pay for. It's an extra cost. But it sounds good. But this is engineered for racetrack. Like, so you get the sound of driving. You know, it is next level.
Well,
I didn't ask him what color he got, but we've got this in a couple of months.
Yeah.
We've got them back to back. There's a blue and an orange. They're exactly the same car.
Yeah.
But they stand out on
you
the
can
road.
Have the orange. I'll take the blue, mate.
Well, we'll see. Because you've got to come all the way to Macquarie Park to pick it up. Flip a coin, mate. Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars. If you've got a story about EVs in any way, shape, or form, 0477 657 657, send us a text or WhatsApp.
Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars is proudly supported by Uniden, and they've just released the Uniden Dash View 60 Plus. This is their first 5K resolution dash cam. 5K, even more detail, 150-degree wide-angle front-facing camera as well. It's got the Sony Starvis sensor. That means a lot because it works well during the day, during the night, all types of lighting conditions. That's the whole idea of having a dash cam, so I can record everything that happens on the road, and now in 5K resolution. So check that out, the Dash View range. There are others. There's also the iGo cam range as well. Uniden has got you covered on the road for all your dash cam needs.
Feels a bit more Mediterranean to me. Don't you think?
Maybe even African or something. Not,
like, African. Yeah, that's not as much a banger as the last one.
No.
Okay, you've got simple
taste.
There's
a bit of variety. There's a variety there.
Anyway, Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to NRA Insurance and Uniden Smart Dash Cams for supporting us each and every week here on Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars. And we're happy to take your calls. 0477 657 657. Send us a text or a WhatsApp. We'll get in touch and we'd love to have you on the show. Adrian's on the line. G'day, Adrian.
G'day, guys.
What can we do for you, buddy?
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be here.
So what are you looking to buy? Have you bought? What's the story, Adrian?
Where are you at?
Yes. We are ready to pull the trigger now. So we've been looking at an EV. I think when I say we, is my wife and myself.
Yeah, the boss. You're the boss.
Minister for War and Finance and yourself. And how much sway have you got in this decision, Adrian?
20%, I'd say.
More than me.
Yeah, I do all the groundwork and then get the final sign off later.
Okay.
So we've been looking at an EV for the last probably 2.5 months.
Okay.
We've got my wife has a company car that she needs to return, and we both agree we were ready to move to the EV world.
Yep.
We've got another car, which is more the family car. This would be probably our second car.
Yep.
So we both love the efficiency, the economy, the power, and she's big on environment. So that was her main angle.
Okay.
Mine was around her, the beauty of driving an EV.
Yep.
So that's the story. We started with naturally looking at Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing that came to mind.
Yep.
But then as you enter into this unknown sort of world, then you see a lot of brands popping up. Looked at when I gave it a drive, the new Tesla 3.
Yep. So the new shape,
nice
the
car.
New looking shape, the new looking
yes.
one.
Yep.
Yeah, the new looking one.
Yep.
Good car. I actually it's quite powerful. I found it a little bit boring inside. Didn't like the lack of stock for that and
right.
I don't know.
Very minimal. Minimal look. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did you settle on, mate? What did you settle on then? What are you circling? Correct. What are you circling?
Okay, so long story short, I saw this BYD, which we hadn't actually heard of before. Yeah. We've seen them on the road, but we said, well, let's go for a drive.
The Model 3 competitor, yes. The Seal. Yep. Yeah. Okay.
Correct.
Looking car. I saw one in a driveway the other day. Yeah. In black.
It
looks
nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Well, that's a direct competitor, isn't it?
Yeah,
the Model 3.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Lovely. Good looking car. Definitely.
What's stopping you from pulling the trigger then, mate?
Yeah.
Well, it is actually a couple of factors. So one is actually, I mean, it's a very new car. Yeah. And then you start thinking about, okay, well, there is not much sort of reviews and people that can tell you about, okay, how they're going after, I don't know, 20K of driving the car or a couple of years.
That's true.
Yeah. You always question the second-hand market for these sort of cars and how they're going to go. And again, I never thought I was going to buy a Chinese car. So we've always been pretty safe on our decisions.
Yep.
We've gone for European cars or Japanese cars.
We'll talk about the brand in a minute. And what about narrowing down the car? Do you know it's definitely going to be the Seal? Have you picked a trim level?
Yeah. So I reckon we're gonna. Yeah, we both like it, and within our budget, we said, okay, well, actually, it's a second car. We might or not want to spend a lot, and we thought the basic model actually gives you enough range and enough sort of value.
Yep.
Yeah. So gives you about 460.
It's not bad.
For a second car, we thought that's probably all we need.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
Yeah. So look, the difference between the dynamic and the premium is really just range and performance. So there's no real issue there. Unless you're doing road trips like I would, then I might push up to the premium and get more range. But I think you're fine. But from a brand perspective, mate, we spoke a few episodes ago to Rob.
Yep.
Rob Rigby, a long-time listener of ours. He owned the Atto 3, and he's just bought another one. So there was a leasing change for him. But the point is, he had the opportunity to leave the BYD and not get another one, get something else.
Yeah.
And he went back to BYD.
He doubled down. Yeah, went back.
So that's a win. And he did have an issue. I think let's not go into it, Rob, but had a little a service issue required, not of the car's making, of his own.
Oh.
And it was a frustrating process at times. But I think that he was also very early in the range. So there's always going to be teething problems with these kind of brands. But this brand is growing fast. They have now employed a new CEO from one of the other motoring companies. They have a goal of doubling their sales next year. They're going to have hybrids. They're going to have electrics. They're going to have mate, you're going to have a bigger dealer network than they have today. Let me put it to you this way. I haven't heard a complaint from a BYD owner, have you?
Not at all. No, I haven't. But I've got some questions about your driving habits. How far will you be driving? Do you drive a lot? Are you going to charge it at home? What are you preparing to do?
Yeah, no, it'll be pretty much city driving, driving the kids to sports and all these things. My wife might use it a bit for work. I'd say probably 50, 70K max a day, and probably not all days. And the charging, I bet is gonna try to do sort of the regular charging at home. But I reckon we're gonna upgrade with buying a proper charger.
All right, for home.
Once we get the car,
mate. Yes. It feels to me. I'll put it to you simply, Adrian. I think you want the car.
Yeah.
I think you know you want the car. I think the wife's all in on it.
Yep.
There's nothing wrong with the car. It's a beautiful car to look at. It's a great car to drive. It has all the range you need in the base level.
Aren't we about to get it too?
Drive it? Stephen's going to drive it next week. If you want to hang out a week and a half, then in next week, Stephen will have the car and can give you his views.
Do you want me to come and pick you up, mate? Take for a spin or what?
Oh, that'll be happy to do that. Which one are you going to drive,
don't know whether. I would suggest it'll be the premium model. I don't think they'll. I think it'll be the premium
model.
They
want to give us the top of the line.
It could even be the performance model. Yeah. But I think that trim levels and everything are almost identical from model to model. It's really just the underpinnings, the battery and the motors that change. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So you're not going to have a disappointment in that sense. I think the bottom line is, wait a week, Stephen will tell you what he thinks of the car. But honestly, I don't see why you wouldn't bite the bullet, mate.
But I'm pretty sure
your biggest issue is choosing a colour.
Have you spoken to other owners as well, or have you done any other homework? Do you know any other EV owners?
Yeah, well, I do a lot of EV owners. I don't know anyone that owns that seal. I've joined a few blogs and a few Facebook and Instagram
my
groups.
My word
but
of
you never,
warning
you never know.
On Facebook
yeah,
groups,
be
mate.
Be careful.
They're
yeah.
full of narcs, okay? Yeah. I was in the Addo3 Facebook group in the early days of the BYD, and, mate, just the narkiness about one little change or one little, I don't know, service interval or something, mate. Yeah. Move on, you people have got no lives. Honestly, enjoy the car.
Yeah,
if you
mate,
buy it, get out of the groups because you'll just find people bringing you down, mate.
Yeah.
If you love the car, I'll tell you personally, I have great faith in the brand, not just because I've known them now for a while, but I just see where they're going and they've got the
really
right support going on.
Forgive the pun, they've got a very good roadmap.
Yeah, there you go. So, Adrian, mate, I think it's a winner for you, mate. So, listen, next week we'll tell you what Stephen thinks, but otherwise, mate, enjoy the car. And we look forward to talking to you in a few months when you've owned one and loved it for a little while, all right?
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much, guys.
Good on you, Adrian.
Good on you, mate.
And I've got to say it before you go. Yo, Adrian, I did it. We did it. Haven't heard that before, have you, mate? Sorry,
oh,
mate. Sorry.
No, probably every second day.
Thanks, mate. Cheers, buddy.
All right. Great show.
See you, thanks for getting in touch. Cheers, mate. Thanks. Poor
couldn't
Adrian.
Help it, mate. I couldn't help it.
You are a punish.
I couldn't help it. I'm a big Rocky fan. I had to say it.
Yeah.
I had to do it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Look, I think it'll be a really interesting thing to see where he ends up. Do you know we can hear someone just wants valid? We get it all the time with tech on the radio. I'm thinking about getting a 100-inch TV. Should I? Yes.
Yes.
Like it's,
get it. Yes.
You just
want the validation. Correct.
He just wants to say to his wife,
he's
listen,
waiting.
I spoke to two experts. They think it's a great car.
He'll have it, mate. He's going to buy tomorrow.
And you know what? Look, to be clear, I read as much as I can from other people. If there was a problem, I'd know about it. Do you know what I mean? That's the basic premise.
It's kind of people doing their homework, and hearing from other owners is the best.
Yeah.
And hearing from us when we drive all these cars ourselves, I think that's the best. They're the best ways to find out whether that car's for you.
That's why we're Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars.
That's it.
Thank you, NRMA Insurance. Thank you, Uniden Smart Dash Cams. If you've got a question about EVs, get in touch. Techguide.com.au, EFTM.com. Send us an SMS or a WhatsApp to 0477-657-657. Stephen, see you next week.
Ciao.
See you, mate. This is my one.
This is a bank.